not really thinking about what they got in mind. We just focusing on getting a win, no matter who's the quarterback.
We said all along that you know, Jaren's our guy. Right now, Nikosi's our starter.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night.
Yes, it is.
The party's here.
Welcome aboard to another edition of the podcast. Yes, sir. No broadcast today. Technical issues, unfortunately. So we will not be able to do the broadcast today. So it's strict podcast today. And we're coming to you live from the Miami-Dade Animal Services in Doral, 3599 Northwest 79th Avenue. And great place to come adopt some great pets. It is a big, giant, beautiful facility. And it's giant because it has a home to a lot of great animals that need some loving homes. So come on out to the Pet Adoption and Protection Center out here in Doral. We're going to be out here ourselves for a couple of hours broadcasting, having some fun, talking about a lot of things. We got a bunch, and you just heard there from Manny Diaz, talking a little bit about Nikosi Perry being the starter. We've got Josh Rosen, which I thought the news out of Davey was one of those where I wasn't really that surprised that he would be named the starter for the remainder of the season. That's something that it was kind of expected. I mean, come on. Did anybody expect them to do anything else but name him the starter? That was going to be the automatic in that one. And so that's why I tell you that, you know, when you look at the quarterback situation, it's when you go to Gables and then you go to Davey, it's so weird what's transpired, right? Because at the beginning of the season, you have your question marks about Brian Flores. You have your question marks about any coach that comes out of the Belichick tree, right? And so most of them have failed. Well, the team is slowly but surely getting better. Manny Diaz came in with all the hype, and yet he has not been able to live up to the hype. He said all the right things, but he hasn't been able to do all the right things. And so the team has not looked good in the whole process. And so now we look at the quarterback situation, and you thought Jaren Williams was the guy. Nobody looked at Nikosi Perry as the option, especially after how he played last year. And so all of a sudden, Jaren has one bad quarter. The coach panics, makes a change, and now Nikosi's the starter because Jaren is injured. And so now you've got this whole mess, and there seems to be more confidence swaying to Flores and Rosen, and now less confidence going in the way of Diaz and the Canes. And it's just weird how everything is developing in football. But it's kind of the ebbs and flows, too, of the whole situation. And that's how it is in football. You feel great about your team one week, and then the following week, you feel like, you know, everything's falling apart. And right now in Coral Gables, you're kind of feeling like everything is falling apart. And look, way too early to even say that. Way too early to say anything about any of these situations in Davey or in Coral Gables. But I do understand the lack of confidence in one and maybe some growing confidence in the other. Look how much it's growing that we've gone from, well, this is a team that probably isn't going to win a game, to they legitimately have a chance this week against the Washington Redskins. And on the flip side, as Canes fans, we're terrified about tomorrow night against Virginia because Virginia is the better team. They're ranked, and Miami has not looked good so far throughout this process. So that's why you look at what's going on with the football situations, and that's why you got to say, okay, this is a time where you shouldn't really be getting too high or too low about what's going on. Just take a step back and appreciate it. I would tell you that this is one where you at least should take some time and say, you know what, Let's see what develops, because it's too early to say that Manny has failed. Okay. And for those of you that are watching now on Twitter, I was able to at least give us a little live feed on Twitter. It's not the same as the broadcast, but at least you have something there you can watch us on Twitter as we're coming to you live from Miami-Dade Animal Services. So it's two situations that are really, really odd right now. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Dolphins situation, because here's where... Tomorrow we'll talk more Canes. May not be very good. Oh, he can speak up if he wants. It's not a problem. We're here with doggies. It's all good. It's normal. You know what I mean? I live with four dogs, so I know how it is.
They're supposed to chime in.
Yeah, they're supposed to chime in. Exactly. Sometimes you can. I don't know. The mics usually don't pick it up in my home studio, but the dogs are usually barking in the background. But it's hard to pick them up sometimes because we've got it pretty sealed up in the home studio. But anyway, it's interesting how things have changed for the Miami Dolphins and their fans, because they go into this week with hope. And now it's twisted hope, right? Because there's some of you out there that you don't want them to win, right? I mean, you're convinced that if they win, it's going to ruin everything, which I don't really believe that kind of stuff. But I look at it the other way. We've talked about this over the last week or two. That if Brian Flores wins in this kind of a situation, this actually might mean that you have a real coach. Because if he can actually win with less, listen, no matter how bad the Redskins look, they have way more talent than Miami. Okay? Way more talent than Miami. So if Miami happens to win, it's only because they're better coached and the players were just better prepared and they were likely more focused, whatever it is. And look, I've already got the reports. You're seeing them from Washington, okay? Oh, the team is more focused now. Bill Callahan has brought more organization and more structure and more discipline to the practices. And that's what they say over Jay Gruden. It's a coaching change. Doesn't mean anything more. Now, they are going to have a quarterback that's got experience. If Haskins was your starter, I would tell you you got a better chance at winning that game. With McCoy there, okay. I mean, not that I fear Colt McCoy, but it's not like Miami's got an experienced team. So that's why it gives them a chance. But it's really twisted how now some Dolphin fans go into this week with hope. Some Dolphins are going into this week with, I don't know what I would call it, like a scared hope, I guess. Because I think about this. For years, we just want our Dolphins to win, and we're hoping that they win, but they're in such a difficult situation, you're kind of expecting a loss, right? And year after year, you're almost expecting a bad season. Now you're fearful, some of you, that they're going to win because you were so dead set on going 0-16, and they still may go 0-16. Like I told you yesterday, life is too short to be so worried about this kind of stuff. There's 12 weeks left. And the problem is some of you have convinced yourselves that the Jets won't win another game, the Bengals won't win another game, and so that's going to cause problems for all of you out there. The other winless teams won't end up winning a game. And my friends, it couldn't be further from the truth. Okay, that's just not going to happen. So these teams will end up, look at the Arizona Cardinals, they ended up winning a game this past week. The Bengals will win something. Some guy sends in a text, 49ers don't belong in the undefeated club. My man, if you're undefeated, you belong in the undefeated club. Okay? You don't get lucky to be undefeated. They're undefeated. They want it. They do have the number one red zone defense in the NFL. So they have a heck of a running game. And Jimmy G isn't even playing great yet. I don't know if he will or not, but he's played all right. He's played serviceable, and they're undefeated. So if his quarterback – go look at Aaron Rodgers. He has not played well either, and the Packers are pretty good. That's scary stuff. Packers have – their quarterback has not played well. They've been carried by the defense and the running game. So, listen, anybody that's in the undefeated club belongs there. I wish the Dolphins were in the undefeated club. I wish you were telling me that the Dolphins didn't belong there. I would be laughing. I'd love it. Now, it will happen one day. Don't worry about it. A couple years from now, after this whole reset, they load up with the picks. Better days ahead, Dolphin fans. Better days ahead. And remember, you can go to our Twitter page at Big O Show. It's also on the Facebook page at Big O Show and Orlando Alzigary. We have our broadcast set for Vegas for the NFL draft. We got a hotel set and everything, although I may be bringing in another hotel into the mix. But we've got everything set, so the links are there. If you want to reserve your room, reach out to Mark. If you want to get in on all of this, make sure you do it because that is going to be the party of a lifetime for Dolphin fans when we're out there in Vegas for 3 days having some fun and broadcasting the draft. And it'll be audio and video that we'll be broadcasting that draft too. So that'll be really, really cool. We'll be able to get away with that out there in Vegas for those 3 days, the 23rd through the 25th of April, I believe. But the link is there on our Twitter page and Facebook pages. And if you want to be a part of it, we'll be broadcasting at Tommy Rockers in Las Vegas. That is going to be a lot of fun. We're at the Miami-Dade Animal Services here in Doral at 3599 Northwest 79th Avenue. We'll be out here for a couple of hours. So if you want to come on by and say hi, if you're in the Doral area, come on by. They'll tell you where we're at and we'll say hi during a break or something like that. And we'll be out here for a little while. We are going to have an interview in a couple minutes here. We'll get Michelle Kaufman on. Michelle Kaufman is going to join us in a couple seconds here to talk a little bit about what's going on with Inter-Miami. We have an Inter-Miami segment with her at 2 o'clock every week here on the program. Normally, it's Wednesdays, by the way. But yesterday, because of the Jewish holiday, Michelle needed it off. She had to fast. And so now she is fresh from fasting, and she is ready to join us. So we can talk a little Inter-Miami. A lot of things going on in Inter-Miami. The buzz for the head coach continues to rise for Inter-Miami, and we're looking forward to hearing who it's going to be, who the international players are going to be that's going to join us. So you can catch Michelle Kaufman's coverage at the Miami Herald. Go to MiamiHerald.com. You can order it, of course, to your doorstep. You can follow her on Twitter at Kauf Sports. She does an excellent job as always, and she is ready to join us here on the program. Michelle, how are you doing? Do we have her? Michelle, are you there?
I hear you now, yes.
There we go. We got you. It's a beautiful thing. You sound you sound like that cell phone commercial.
Okay.
So let me ask you, how do you spend your day fasting? How do you keep your mind off of food? Just out of curiosity.
Well, first of all, you spend a lot of time in synagogue. So I was there. Well, some people spend all day. They have services the entire day if you want to stay there the whole day, which I don't do, but you know, I was there from like 10 to 2, so that's 4 hours. And then I came home and, I don't know, it was actually good. I actually just got on the scale today and I thought to myself, you know what, this fast thing is not bad because I had been working hard to break a certain number. You know how you kind of get stuck on a certain number and you cannot get past that number. And I got past that number below 1 pound. So I think it's because of the fast yesterday.
Well, I can listen. You know how I lost 50 pounds? I fast every day. You know that?
Okay. No, yeah, I didn't. I
started off not eating for 10 hours and then 11 and 12 and 13. And I'll go on streaks of 16 to 20 hours of not eating. And then I'll have a window of 4 to 6 hours where I'll eat my food and then go off again for a while without eating. That's actually how I lost my 50 pounds.
And is it healthy to do it that way? I don't know.
The thing is that when you're not eating, your body's burning the fat that you already have. So you're not starving. Because it's burning the fat that you do have in your body. So it's actually a good thing. As long as you drink water throughout the day and you keep yourself hydrated, you're fine. Mm-hmm. I eat my calories, but I eat it in a short window is what it is. And then I let the body digest and burn the rest because it burns the food you ate and then it runs out of food. And so then it starts burning your fat. And your body gets used to fasting every day, actually. So.
Right. Well, I do know that when you're on a vacation, you eat a lot every single day, then your body kind of gets used to eating a lot. Then when you eat less each day, the body, your stomach becomes accustomed to eating less. So that's the goal. But anyway, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm so used to it. I've been doing it since I was 13 years old. So I'm just sort of used to it. You know, we get, you get hungry toward the middle of the afternoon. I was pretty hungry by 3:00, I would say, but I hung in there till around 6:00. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I did 24 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Now let's talk about the really important stuff. Did Susan Miller give you the hookup? Because that bread that her husband baked looked, I wanted to eat the screen when I saw that bread.
I know. Well, Susan Miller Degnan, yeah. That's called challah. That's the egg bread. You know, challah. They sell it all over the place.
Yes.
Susan Miller Degnan's husband, Kevin, he's a lawyer. He's also an amazing chef. So she's very lucky. I mean, all this time that, she lives in Deerfield Beach and drives to University of Miami every single day to cover that University of Miami team. So, I mean, she is extremely dedicated. And she has three kids. One of them is a doctor, one is a lawyer, and the other one is in medical school. So she's raised three incredible kids. And her husband, Kevin, though, has been the provider of the food many of the nights. He's the one who cooked, and he's a great chef. And he bakes his own challah bread. I mean, I buy mine at Publix, and it's very good. But he bakes it on his own and braids it. And I have other friends who do, too. They make it, and you braid it, and you could do all these cool things with it. So, yeah, she posted a picture of that bread, and I was like, yum.
It was. It looks so good, man. I wanted to eat it. I saw that, and I was like, okay, it got me hungry right away. It just looked like the perfectly baked, bread, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
All right, so the question is, Inter Miami's been baking for a while now, getting the ingredients. When are we going to get the coach?
The coach is going to be in the next 2 weeks. They have assured me today is October 10th. By the end of October, so I guess it could be almost 3 weeks, but it's supposed to be in the next 2 weeks. They have somebody in line. They have someone they're negotiating with. I don't know who it is. I mentioned before Santiago Solari. I've heard yes. I've heard no. He definitely is someone who checks all the boxes that they've talked about. You know, they keep saying someone who's played at the highest level, someone who's coached at the highest level, someone who speaks Spanish and English, somebody who is good at training the youth and who's going to be involved with the Development Academy and you know, training young players as well as big time star, you know, star quality players. So he checks all of those boxes because he's coached at Real Madrid, the real Real Madrid team. He's also coached their reserve team and their academy team. He's from Argentina. He speaks English because he played soccer in the United States 1 year. So, you know, he's bilingual. He's a very good friend of David Beckham's. I mean, he fits, and he's unemployed. So he fits every category. So I think he would be a great choice. I think he makes a lot of sense. I know that he was looking to get some kind of job in Europe, and, you know, I don't know what's happening with that, but.
I'm with you there. What is there a timetable? Because I heard Moss say on what was it, World Soccer Talk? I forgot it was. They're like close. He says at naming a coach, so it makes it sound like we're on the brink of getting one.
Yeah, I mean, they said in the next 2 weeks. They're working on the contracts right now. They're working on the contracts. They have somebody. They have somebody in mind, and it's going to be sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Now, when you say they're working on the contracts, or is it contract? Is it one person, or are they working with multiple people that they're trying to decide?
No, I think it's one person, and if it works out with that person, they'll hire that person. If not, they'll have to go to number two. They have two people or three people that they've had serious conversations with, but there's definitely one person. They say that there's one person that they have selected, that they have chosen. This is the person, and they're just waiting to finalize a contract with him.
Okay, and your gut tells you who?
Well, my gut tells me Santiago Solari, but, I mean, I may be wrong. You know, David Moyes is another guy from England who has connections to Beckham and connections to South Florida. He speaks English. You know, he fits the bill. Not as much a player on a high level. Santiago Solari has played at a higher level and also, you know, coached at Real Madrid and coached the academy there, which and the young players there and the reserve team. So, I don't know. I think he makes perfect sense, but he also wanted to try to get a job in Europe, so I don't know if he's still sort of hanging out. Maybe there's some job he's considering in Europe, and if he doesn't get it, he'll come to Miami. You know, there are things in play with these coaching searches where the coaches are juggling one job offer versus the other.
All right, I like that. Any news on players, and especially the international names that we've been awaiting?
Well, the main news that happened was they had that draft. You know, I told you about the draft of drafts. So they got, you know, they got the top expansion player. They got the top pick in the expansion draft. They got the top pick in the college draft. And, yes, we're still waiting. I'm still, same thing I said last week. I still think that David Silva from Man City and Edinson Cavani from PSG, those are the two names that I keep hearing over and over. They are both very high-level players. They both, you know, seem to be guys who are going to be leaving their clubs at the end of this season. So they are both two big names that are coming. I do not think Lionel Messi is coming. You know, there were some little, you know, whispers and rumors about his name being thrown around, but I don't think that that's going to happen.
All right, you said that you would investigate who are the top players for the expansion draft. Have you been able to unearth some of that news and tell us who might be the top pick that our team may go for?
I haven't been able to do as much research as I wanted, mainly because when I talked to Paul McDonough, I mean, he said that they don't even know. They are now, and that's their full-time job, they are going through every roster and trying to play general manager for each team, and especially because Paul knows a lot about the league, he's trying to figure out what each general manager is going to do with each roster. Which 12 players are they going to protect, and who are they going to leave unprotected? The part that I don't really know, the pieces that I don't know, which would help me make a better educated guess, is I don't know all of their contract situation. So he said there are teams where they may have a player who's paid quite a bit of money, and they would leave that player, you know, vulnerable, unprotected, because they think that another team would not be willing to pay that price for that player. So they may leave that guy hanging out there. And, you know, maybe Miami FC, a team with deep pockets, is a team that would invest in a high-priced player. But I don't have enough of the contract information right now to know which guys on which team, you know, are players that they would leave. I do know one little hint he gave is that he said that they are looking most closely at, you know, which is not, I mean, a huge revelation, but makes sense. They're looking most closely at the teams that have won the most trophies in the past 2 years and that are the best teams, because those are deep teams. Those are teams where even your number 13 through 18 are going to be really, really good players. So, you know, I'm going to start looking closely at the rosters of LAFC, NYCFC, Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, Paul McDonough knows very well that team because he helped build that team. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from Atlanta winds up here. Seattle is another really good team. Philadelphia has some good players. So, you know, he said that they're focusing on the best teams at the beginning because those teams are likely to be the deepest teams. And those are the teams that have players that have won championships and know what it takes to win championships. So that's where their search is starting. And then they have to figure out which players are each team going to leave. You know, they're not going to find out till November 14th. So up until then, it's kind of a guessing game. And then for the college draft, you know, there are a lot of good players, of course, that most fans have never heard of. But there's a guy at Virginia named Daryl Dyke. There's a guy at Akron named David Egbo. A guy, believe it or not, at UCF, which keeps rising up in all the sports, a guy named Cal Jennings at UCF. So, you know, they're going to have the top college pick. They're going to have the top expansion pick. And then the two big name players. I do know also that Paul said he wanted to have the coach in place before the expansion draft. He wants the college coach, he wants the coach to be involved in the process of picking and helping, you know, determine who they're going to pick in the expansion draft. Even if it's a coach coming from Europe, they're not really going to know intimately very well these MLS players, but he would like the coach to be involved. So the coach is going to be the next big news, which is supposed to be in the next 2 weeks. The other thing that happened yesterday while I was fasting is that they announced that they're going to have a USL team.
Right.
So we already knew that, but they officially got granted a USL team.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So now that do we know the name of the USL team? No, right? They haven't said anything like that, right?
They haven't said that. They haven't said, but basically there's going to be an academy, there's going to be a USL team, then there's going to be the main team. So there will be three levels, three tiers of Inter Miami.
Okay. All right. So now here's the thing. What's up with the Miami location? What's the latest there on everything going on with the Mel Reese site?
Jorge Mas says that they're within 90 days of working out a lease agreement. So if that's true, then things would be moving ahead after that.
Okay. All right. So then they must have made a lot of progress in, I guess, the waste side of it is, I guess, the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, I think that they've agreed from the beginning that whatever it costs to clean up the toxic soil, they're going to clean it. So I don't think that that was ever a big hurdle. I think that was more of a PR thing from the people who don't want it at that site. Look at all the stuff they unearthed. But I think they were expecting to unearth a lot of toxins in there because there are toxins in the soil all over Miami, probably in your own backyard. So, people have been playing golf on that toxic golf course for many years.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, some people were so dead set on, hey, let's keep, no, we got to save it for the kids. Yeah. Let's keep polluting our kids with all that stuff. Yeah. I wonder those people that were all about the kids and about the kids. I wonder how they feel now about this because they were just, you know, filling their kids with toxins, basically while they were playing there. That's amazing. All right. Here's the other thing that I don't know. This is purely out of ignorance. Okay. Is there any chance Paul McDonough goes Chris Greer on us? And I'm not saying like tearing down before he even builds, but what I mean is he's got the number one pick in the college draft. He's got the number one pick in the expansion draft. Are those things sexy enough that you can get more for the future for them, in other words? Are they worthy that much of trade value, in other words?
Well, I think the number one pick in the expansion draft could be trade bait. It really depends who it is. But if it is one of the players who's sort of a higher price player, who's a name player in MLS, who's just someone that a team is willing to leave exposed, they could, if there's a team out there that really wants that player, Miami could get that player and then trade it to that team for their expansion picks. Or not expansion picks, but their college picks or for an allocation pick or a player that they already have.
Okay. All right. I like that. Michelle Kopp.
Yeah, because he did say that he hopes to get, they can pick up to five players in the expansion draft. And I asked him, do you expect to save all five of those players for the team? He said, you can get up to five or we could like keep three and trade two. So he definitely was open to the idea of trading a few of those picks.
Yeah, that makes sense. The college one doesn't, because obviously you're a new team. You want to build for the future, and that's obviously a piece that you can build for the future, especially if it's special. Michelle Kaufman joining us, of course. If you want to get great insight on Inter Miami, make sure you follow her on Twitter at Kauf Sports and catch her work at the Miami Herald website or at your doorstep. Hey, Michelle, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, I know that you can't be at this moment wanting a change for the Canes football team, but is it surprising to you that that he's on the hot seat already, considering the way the first five games have gone?
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. We live in Miami. We're not patient. This is a Latin community. We're not patient people. We are passionate, impatient people. No, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. And I think he knows it, and he understands it, and that's why he's a good choice to be the coach. I mean, look, he's already said that he's going to get more involved in the defense again. Mm-hmm. This is a defense that was actually very good, and that was a good part of the team. It was the offense that needed to be fixed. And now this year, the defense looks terrible. So he's going to jump back in and basically be the de facto defensive coordinator from what it seems.
Yeah.
So I think he knows. I think he knows. Listen, his father was the mayor of this city. He knows what this community is like. It's a big responsibility to coach that team. And he knew that people are going to be judging him right off the bat. It was a very short honeymoon.
Well, yeah, you know, I've talked about this. He was the defensive coordinator. And so when his defense is giving up the game-winning drive, you're going to have a shorter honeymoon than everybody else because they feel like, well, wait a minute, dude, you know half the team already. It's only the other half you got to get to learn. So your learning curve is going to be a lot shorter than everybody else. And wait a minute, it's your defense that's folding here. That's where you end up kind of losing your honeymoon. Because normally, and you know it, I don't have to tell you, Michelle, most coaches, you know, once they take over a team, their former side of the ball, whatever it is usually the strength of the team. And
right.
that was not the case last week in the most crucial moment.
No, that was the most surprising to me because the defense was actually very good. And so many times last season, I found myself saying, wow, you know, I feel kind of sorry for the defense because they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
They're getting all these turnovers, turnover chain. But the offense wasn't scoring. And then he made this whole point, oh, we're going to have a prize now for the offense, the touchdown ring, whatever. And it all looks kind of silly at this point. I mean, I went to University of Miami. I love Swagger. I love all the stuff, the way they were in the 80s when I was there. But I think until they win a few games, they should put the jewelry away.
Yes. I'm totally with you. That jewelry should be out when you deserve it, when you're actually doing something with it. Taking it out against whatever Central Michigan or FAMU or something, come on, man.
Or taking it out when you're down by three touchdowns.
That too.
And you finally score a touchdown.
Right.
And you're going out and celebrating with the rings. And I don't know. I mean, I love the attitude, and I love, you know, what he's trying to instill there. He's trying to bring it back to the attitude of the 80s, which is when I was in college there, and it was a lot of fun. But I think that it should be motivation at this point. Like, we're not bringing out this jewelry box until you guys do something.
Right.
Until you win a few games. Win a few games and we're bringing out the jewelry box.
Yeah. No, listen, I hate the dude that says first down and they're down by 35 points. I hate that dude. I hate the dude that celebrates at a touchdown and he's dancing all that. And the scoreboard says 56-7. And dude, that was the only seven you have on the board. Get your ass back to the sideline. Wait till you score another 50 points so you can start celebrating. So
now,
I'm with you.
What about when they show the cheerleaders? The team is any team, not just UM, but in general, it drives me crazy when they show the cheerleaders. Their team is down by 30 points, and the cheerleaders are there with big smiles, waving their pom poms, and I'm like, "Listen, girls, your team is getting its butt kicked. What are you smiling about?"
Be pissed, right? Yeah, they should be sitting down with their arms folded, legs crossed, and yeah, exactly. I like it. All right, so what are you working on at the Herald so Inter Miami fans can look forward to it?
Well, really, the coach. I'm really still trying to find out who the coach is. That's my mission, and I go fishing every single day. I call or text or communicate with those people, with Paul and Jorge all the time, and they laugh at me at this point because Paul McDonough calls me like the fisherwoman. I sent him memes of like fishing poles and stuff because I'm trying to find out. Come on, guys. It's mid-October. You need a coach.
Yeah.
Tell me who it is. Tell me who it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't tell me.
Now, there's got to be a point where there has to be a deadline, right? I mean, you have to have your coach before you have your drafts, I'm sure. So there's got to be a coach in place pretty soon because you got to bring the guy in. You got to share philosophies. You got to share direction, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure the coach wants to have a little hand or a little influence maybe on some of the players you do bring in.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm telling you, they have pretty much assured me that it's going to be before the end of October, there will be a coach in place. They told me not to take any vacation until Halloween.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty good right there. That's all you need to know. Don't take any vacations before Halloween, because if not, we're going to ruin your vacation, which is a beautiful
thing.
Yes. All right. I like it. Follow her on Twitter at Koff Sports and catch her exceptional work at the Miami Herald website. And of course, you can catch her every week here normally on Wednesdays. Okay. As long as holidays don't get in the way, but we'll catch her next week here on the program. Michelle, as
maybe
always,
we'll have some coach news by next week. We'll
yes.
have a lot to talk about, hopefully.
Yes. Let's hope so. Thank you, Michelle. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
There you go. Michelle Kaufman, of course, from the Miami Herald. Good stuff there. Always appreciate her joining us here on the program. I can't wait till they get the coach. I can't wait till they get the players. By the way, today I'm wearing my Inter Miami shirt today. I figure we're going to have an Inter Miami segment today. I'll wear it. Although I am kind of taking risks that I'm at a facility with a lot of doggies and I'm wearing a white shirt. So there's a good chance that I might leave with a stain or two. But what was his name again?
Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea? So you saw Sweet Pea here during the interview. Sweet Pea came to visit me a little bit. Sweet dog, too, on top of all of that. Come on out to the Miami-Dade Animal Services here in the Doral area, 3599 Northwest 79th Avenue. Best way to do it is to adopt, okay? Do not buy. Adopt, okay? Come out here. There's a lot of great dogs, a lot of great cats that need homes. So if you're a dog lover, maybe your child is a dog lover, maybe you got a birthday coming right around the corner, it's good stuff. We got the holidays right coming down. There you go. Great time to add a little doggy to the family. It's a beautiful thing. And let me tell you something. Dogs are the ultimate stress relievers, okay? We all know sex helps, but listen, outside of that, okay, nothing like a doggy. I'm telling you. Okay, I get home, and no matter how stressed out I am, how wound tight I am, and let me tell you, radio over 30 years will do that to you, okay? All right? And these bags, see, they used to be black. Thanks to the CBD I'm taking, they're no longer black. Now they're, you know, they're rose color, like, or a little red. Getting a little lighter every day. But listen, when you get home, okay, I guarantee you, your dog or dogs, because I've got four, they will attack you in a good way, with love, with all kinds of kisses, with all kinds of attention. They're going to be so happy that you're home that it's going to put an incredible smile on your face. Because that happens to me every single day. Okay? This morning when I'm preparing for the show, you know, Ollie's jumping on my lap, and I'm preparing. I got the dogs, and they're always putting a smile on my face, okay? I'm sleeping. They might climb up to the bed, give me a couple licks, wakes me up. It's a smile. It's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, it enhances your life, your family's life, like nothing else. So trust me, a pet is a great way to make your family better. And bring them together, too, on top of all of that. Definitely. So come on out here to the Miami-Dade Animal Services in Doral, 3599 Northwest 79th Avenue, and give a sweet doggy a home, a beautiful cat a home. You got all of them out here. How many animals do we have right now waiting for homes? About over 300. Look at that. And they're taking animals in every single day. So please, come on down here. And this is such a big, beautiful facility, too. They do a great job taking care of them. Adopt Miami Pets is the Twitter handle, by the way. Adopt Miami Pets. So check it out. And we'll be out here every month, too. So we'll be hanging out here, having some fun, broadcasting live. We got actually, they've got a nice little studio for us. We will be at it next month. So it'll be cool. We'll be right out in the middle of the lobby, and folks can come on out here and visit us and hopefully walk away with a doggy, which is always a beautiful thing. Remember, you can reach out to us on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. Before I get back to some football talk, I will say this. Yesterday, I was feeling for Clayton Kershaw, watching him address the media. There are moments, right? We all face adversity in life. No matter what happens to us, we're going to face all kinds of adversity professionally, personally, in our families, everything. And it's how you face that adversity is how you're measured. And that's the way it should be in life, because that's how you should measure somebody in their worst moments. It's really easy to measure all of us in our best moments because we're all happy and enjoying it. But in our worst moments is how you're going to handle that situation. And I thought Clayton Kershaw was a man in that situation, a guy that was not shying away from the narrative. A guy that in 34,374 pitches in the regular season had never allowed back-to-back home runs. But he's allowed them twice in the postseason. And he knows it. And he's living with that demon. Okay? And he knows he's living with that demon. And yet he stood there and he answered every question like a gentleman. And not like a man that should be extremely pissed, not like a man that should be extremely disappointed in himself and expressing it, because it's only human to be expressing all that frustration, all that anger, and yet he bottled it up. And you never saw it. And he stayed stoic. And he was respectful. And he deserves the same kind of respect, folks. He does. Because that's a great example for every athlete, amateur or professional. That's how you handle it. That's how you handle it. Because I used to talk about, and I've talked about this many times, Kevin Brown was a class A jerk. Okay? One of the worst human beings I have ever covered in pro sports. He would throw a shutout, a one-hitter, 15 Ks. He'd be standing next to his locker room, leaning on his locker room with his hand up against the thing, rubbing his chest. What do you guys want to talk about today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got him in the ninth with a slider. I got him in the seventh with this. Then, the next outing, he gave up 5 runs, 8 hits, pulled in the fourth inning. You walk in after the game, he's sitting there with his arms crossed, looking down, giving you one-word answers. That was Kevin Brown.
You know, I can remember the day we got, what's his name? Dalton from the Dutch
yeah,
from
Darren.
The Phillies. Kevin Brown pitched that day. I was with you. We were hanging out, actually, Frankfort, Channel 10, and John Cancellosi closed the game because of how bad Kevin Brown had pitched.
Oh, he pitched.
Yes,
that's right.
That
I remember
day.
The day that Cancellosi pitched.
I can remember he was such an ass.
Yes, that's Kevin Brown. And so, I've done this for 30 years, and I've seen the guys that know how to handle it and the ones that don't. And I respect people like Clayton Kershaw. You want to call him a choker, I get it, and all that stuff. You know what I was thinking last night? You know who Clayton Kershaw is? He's Tony Romo. He's Tony Romo.
He's awesome in the regular season and can't do nothing.
You can't deny Tony Romo's talent, right?
Bigger the moment.
Right? You can't deny Tony Romo's talent.
No, man.
Tony Romo put on some games that you were like, wow, this guy's a hell of an athlete. This guy's a hell of a quarterback.
400 yards with no effort, like effortless.
I remember a couple years ago, he put up a 500 game against the Broncos. It was a badass performance, man. But then you put Tony in those big moments, and boom. And it's the same thing with Clayton Kershaw. And I'm watching Clayton Kershaw, and Tony Romo's the same dude. Tony Romo's never a jerk to people. We've been jerks to Tony Romo, but Tony Romo's never a jerk to us. We're going to be jerks now to Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Chokeshaw, or whatever you want to call him. I mean, whatever joke you want to come up with, whatever GIF or GIF or whatever it is, meme, whatever you're going to create about Clayton Kershaw, Dodger fans are going to, you know, there's going to be a certain section, they're going to hate him no matter what. Oh, yeah, he's great in the regular season, but hey, once we get to the postseason, put him on ice. I don't even want to see him out there. That's what they're going to say.
My Yankees will take him.
Yeah, well, but I don't know if he wants to pitch in New York, by the way.
Probably not.
That's not a good place to pitch. You got to be a completely different dude to pitch in New York. And so I you know, he could handle the heat. I will say that.
The way he did it last night, man.
LA's as big a media market. Maybe it's not as Piranha-like like New York. Piranha, New York and Chicago and Boston will eat you alive. I don't think LA's like that. LA's got a large media market, but it's more of a laid-back market.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, New York, Boston, and Chicago, forget it. There's nothing like those three markets. Those are the worst markets to play for because the media in those markets are really, really, really tough.
Chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this. I'm watching Kershaw yesterday, and it's all respect, man. It's all respect. That's all I can say about the man. Because we all go through some tough moments in our lives. Remember this, okay? You go through a tough moment. The only people that know are your friends, your close family members. It's just a small knit group, and then that's it. Clayton Kershaw goes through a tough moment. It's the world. The world is watching. The world watches you fail. Then the world has to watch you handle the press conference after. And if you lose your crap, you know, like many have, then you get that other label, too, on top of all of that. Right? We've watched, Odell Beckham. Doesn't handle on the field, doesn't handle off the field the right way. Right? Lance Armstrong was a jerk on the bike, and a bigger jerk off the bike, right? Ryan Braun, I'll cheat, and then I'll also try to ruin other people's lives because I cheated, you know? By the way, Lance did that too. So it really, when you think about failure, think about it in their eyes, not ours. Because when you and I fail, very few people know about it. We don't have to live it in the public eye. Clayton Kershaw walks down the street and guaranteed one out of three, four, 10 people are looking at him going, oh, that's the dude that chokes. That's the dude that chokes. You walk down the street, nobody knows what you did. Nobody cares because you're not on their radar. And so public failure is something that carries a burden that we will never be able to relate to. And it's a burden that, trust me, you never want to experience.
I put a little bit on the managers. That stat that I threw to you about guys going on 3 or 4 days rest and their stats, and historically 122 times it's been done.
Yeah.
They're 30-44. They got a 4.5 ERA, and their team is 50-72. Obviously, Verlander lost the other night. Yeah, now they're 50-73. You're asking your guy to do something that he doesn't normally do.
Right, right.
And go outside his rump.
But it's been done. And so then you think he can be Hershiser, he can be Beckett, he can be, you know, because it's
Hershiser,
been done.
Yes, was that guy got well, but hits. He got RBIs.
But it's in that, and it was in that city.
Yeah, well,
and he showed up three times. It was a relief appearance in Game 7 that he did it.
Well, Tommy was after infamous two, for that. He would burn right, he would his burn out pitchers arms. Into
right.
the ground.
Right, he always did that. But but my point is that because it's been done before, we think the next guy can do it. Look at Scherzer. He was like, oh, my arm's falling off. You know what I mean? But it's just one of those things. The question I have, and I'll ask Craig Mish when we get him on in the next hour, is why Joe Kelly and why not pull Kershaw after the first home run?
Yeah.
Okay, because once you see he gives up the home run, you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Something's amiss with the guy.
Let me, but he didn't. He didn't make any moves, and I wouldn't have put Kelly in that situation either. Joe Kelly did not belong in that situation. So those are things that you can ask about Brian Roberts there in that situation. But, again, I just have to say, because everybody's going to take the time to just say he's a choker and all this and that. All I got to say is because I've been there, I've been the guy that has to ask the questions. I've been the guy that's had to ask the questions in the worst moments. I've been the guy that only had the guts to ask the question in those moments. And it's not fun. Okay, so for any of you guys out there, there are some media members that enjoy it. I do not. I enjoyed walking in after a win. That's fun. After a loss, think about it, man. How about when you had a bad day at work? Anybody walk up to you and say, well, wait a minute. Listen, you screwed up today. You missed the order on 7 of your customers. You got it all wrong. Today, you sold a car under a number you were supposed to. We lost commission. You know, nobody questions you, right? Nobody does that. Nobody walks in after your job is done and you had a crappy day and they go over this, this, and this, and this. Wait a minute, I thought you were a painter. What are all these bubbles that are left on this side of the wall? How come you didn't sand it down the right way? Because look, I can see it. Nobody does that to you. So it's one of those things that's... I just wanted to take the time to say that about Clayton Kershaw because it's... too many times we see the other guy show up in those press conferences. And what kids need to see is that. They need to see the people that, because we need to set examples on how to handle adversities, okay? So our children can actually follow these kind of leads. Because unfortunately, the examples we are often setting in society are not the ones we want leading, okay? Hell, look at the dude that's running the country. That guy doesn't necessarily handle adversity the right way either. So, you know, let's see if we set proper examples and say whatever you want about Clayton Kershaw, okay? But the one thing you have to and must say about him is that he is a man. In the mists of adversity, and he is also a guy that will take responsibility for his actions, not point fingers. Because look at Adam Gase, all he does is blame everybody else. Every press conference, it's everybody else's fault. Clayton Kershaw said in that press conference last night, "I know what you guys are saying about me, and you're right." Think about that. Who says that? They lie to you and themselves, normally, athletes. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not me. That's not, whatever. He did not dodge, pun intended, anything.
You know what, though? It's kind of smart. You take up ownership and you face it and you get past. You know what I mean?
You know who? And you know who's exceptional at that? Pat Riley. When Pat screws up, take it from me. I covered him every day. Whenever he would screw up, he'd tell you. You know why? Because psychologically, he doused the fire right there and then.
Right. Exactly.
And then you can't do, you can't pile on, you can't do anything, but it's the coach, it's the player that's in denial that then eggs on more heat. Because you're telling me something, we're seeing something completely else, and then that's why we're going to bombard you every day with these questions. But the second you douse the fire and say, hey, listen, before you guys start anything, I screwed up here. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Then it's accountability. And when somebody has accountability, the only thing you can have for that is respect. Okay?
Unless you're a jerk.
Right, unless you're a jerk. But you respect, you forgive, you move on, and you turn the page, as Bob Seger would say.
Let me ask you, who feels worse? The guy from Atlanta that gave up 6 runs in a third in the first inning, the first third of the inning, the game.
All right.
Or Clayton giving up those 2 home runs.
Clayton.
Not the guy that gave up 6 runs right out the box.
Because you're Clayton Kershaw, dude.
Right.
You're Clayton Kershaw.
You're expected.
You're a Hall of Famer. You're the man.
Probably the best pitcher in baseball.
You're the
right
face
now.
Of the Dodgers, basically.
Yeah. You're the best pitcher in baseball.
I don't know yet, but I think he might be the longest tenured Dodger on that team. If not, top 2 or 3 or whatever. I'm trying to think of that roster right now of guys that have been there longer than him, and I don't know if there's a lot of them. So Clayton Kershaw is the guy, you know?
Yeah, that's the one piece that they have held on to. Yeah.
He's the Gina Davis of a League of Their Own's team. What were they called? Rockford Peaches.
Yeah.
Okay, he's the Gina Davis of the Rockford Peaches. You know what I'm saying? So he's... That's the way he's looked at. You're looked at as the guy that cannot fail. You're looked at as the guy that has to lead the team to a championship, to the promised land. And if you don't do it, then there's no way you're ever going to get it done. That's the way it's looked at because that's your best player.
If you can't, then who else is going to do it?
Right.
You couldn't.
It's Kershaw and Bellinger, I would say, are your two faces of your team, basically.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And
clearly Bellinger has not been there longer than Kershaw or as long either because Bellinger's a kid. He's been there I want to say this is his 5th season or something like that. But, that's the thing about Kershaw. And I just all the respect in the world for him yesterday. Just, it was so manly.
And like you said.
Just respect.
Like we talked about, a guy at that level, if you get rid of him, you're not going to get a better player.
No, no, no.
You're
no,
not
no.
going to replace that guy.
No.
You're gonna dip down.
But
okay?
I will say this: if they're in this position again next year, I don't care about the Dodgers. It's not my favorite team. My favorite team is obviously I'm a suffering Marlins fan that will never see the light of day again. That's one dude that I'm. I pray that he has that moment, that he has that watershed moment, and he can like put it behind him and his career and all that, and just erase all of that. You know, like A-Rod did winning his championship with the Yankees, right?
2009.
Like Dirk Nowitzki did with the Dallas Mavericks. He had that choker label, too, also on him. And then they broke through, beat the Heat, won the championship. And that was huge for Dirk Nowitzki. Certain guys
LeBron.
LeBron had that label until he got here, right? And ended up winning. So some of those guys carry that label. I root for Kershaw to be that next guy that gets rid of that label. We are going to talk with Chris Perkins. We're going to talk a little Miami Dolphins. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get you ready for a little Miami Dolphins talk with Chris Perkins from The Athletic. That's next.